Amen. I don't see how it could get much better this side of heaven. But man, one day we'll be there and we'll be praising Him face to face. You may look and see why some are raising their hands. We're just practicing. We're just getting ready. I guarantee you that day is going to be an amazing day. I wish it were today, except for the fact that I have loved ones that don't know Him yet. But selfishly, I'm ready to go home. Are you? Praise God. We are entering into a new series. Man, we went through the marathon series, Experiencing God, and we're all the better for it. And now we are entering into a new series, and it's an appropriate time for this series. The title of this series is Harvest Time. Harvest Time. And today's message, we're going to learn how to see like Jesus, and we're going to be in John chapter 4, so you can turn your Bibles there. And I want to read you the Harvest Time series verse, the verse for this whole series that I'll be repeating to you. Doubtful I will memorize it, but I will read it. Some of y'all got that. John 4:35 says, this is Jesus speaking to His own disciples. And we'll see it in the story today. He says, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. That's the key verse for this whole series. Our Harvest Time series will be 8 weeks. And today we're going to begin with the woman at the well. It's a very familiar story, but today it's going to be a little bit different perspective. And the final week will be Sunday, November 24th, the Sunday right before Thanksgiving. And on that final week, I want to make that a high attendance day, a Sunday for harvest. So I'm giving you 8 weeks to work in the harvest before we bring in the sheaves, so to speak. And so I want to make that a high attendance Sunday. Now, this isn't intended to fill the pew with your family and friends. I know that's the customary thing to do. That is not why I'm calling for a high attendance day. This high attendance day is where we need to fill the pews with thirsty souls. With thirsty souls. People that are searching. People that are thirsty. People that are longing for something better. And on that Sunday, we're going to end with this same John chapter 4 that we begin with. And on that Sunday, I'll preach a message entitled, Is Your World a Thirsty Place? The message is completely intended for someone who is lost. So if we're full of Christian family and friends, I might as well preach a different message. But we need to fill this place with the lost. Is your world a thirsty place? You know, the woman's story speaks a universal message of the thirst for spiritual hope that we all have. And so anybody that hears this story on that last week, that high attendance Sunday, they will be moved, hopefully, by the power of the Holy Spirit to respond to the gospel. It's an invitation to come and drink and be filled from the living waters of Christ. How can anybody resist such an invitation as that? So that's the plan. So over the next 8 weeks, I will be preaching to the church harvest messages, preparing us to be out working, encouraging you each week to go out into your community and seek the lost. And we need to respond to that. So I'm just letting you know in advance exactly what we're about to journey through together. Now, there's 4 elements to this amazing story. John chapter 4 is the story of a seeking Savior. Jesus is the seeking Savior who searches for us no matter how low a place that we're in. Read with me John chapter 3. It tells us that Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Samaritans were descendants of the Israelites of the northern kingdom. They had intermarried with foreign settlers that had come in after the fall of Samaria. And as a result of this racial intermarriage, they were no longer considered to be truly Jewish, and they were hated by most righteous Jews. Now, because of this hatred for Samaritans, Jews who were going back and forth from Jerusalem to Galilee would take a longer indirect route around the east side of Jordan. It was almost like their 285, if you will, how we go around Atlanta, right? We don't want to drive through Atlanta. It's traffic all the time. This was their 285, their bypass of Samaria. That's how much they hated the folks of Samaria. Now, so the question comes up, why would Jesus take this direct route through Samaria if that wasn't the custom? I'm going to tell you why. Because he's the seeking Savior. Man, I'm so glad he came looking for me. And he rescued me, and my life's never been the same. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus is willing to meet any of us at our lowest place, yet he doesn't condemn us. John chapter 4, the story of a seeking Savior. John chapter 4 is also the story of a thirsty woman. She comes alone to the well every day at noon, and she's never able to satisfy her thirst. Look at verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, that would be noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. She was an adulterous Samaritan woman living in shame and rejected by her own people. We know that because she came to the well in the heat of the day, when all the other women would come early in the morning in the cool of the day. And then we see that John chapter 4 is the story of a dry well. Look at verse 13. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You know, this well represents all the wells of the world which people go to again and again, searching for lasting satisfaction but never finding any. You think about people who are always searching for more money. You think about people that are looking for acceptance of others. You think about people who want power, people who chase after pleasures. These are all wells of life that people just keep going to and drinking from, but they're never satisfying that spiritual thirst in their life. This woman in particular, her well was men. She had been married how many times? She had been married 5 times, 5 broken marriages. And the fact is that she was now living with a man. She is now living with a man. And here's the thing is that this woman, she could find no satisfaction, but she kept going back to the same well. She kept going back to the same well. I want to ask you this question. Is your world a thirsty place? Is there a well in your life that you just keep going back to? You keep doing the same things and you're hoping that it's going to be different? Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's somebody here this morning drinking from one of the wells of the world, but never satisfying the thirst. You know, thankfully, Jesus is always looking at people with spiritual eyes. Aren't we grateful for that? Jesus could look past all the ugliness of those five broken marriages. And the fact that she was now living with a man, he still saw her as a precious creation of God who was worth going to and saving. He didn't care about what she is doing, where she is at, what she was experiencing. He didn't care about anything, any of that. All he cared about was her. And so he came to her. That's why he goes through Samaria. That's why he comes to that well and pauses. He comes to offer her a drink of living water that will completely satisfy her soul. Look at verse 14. He says to her, "Whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, that's what God wants of any believer. He wants you to be so filled with his living water that it springs up inside of you and it overflows and spills out on everybody you come in contact with. That's what shining the light is about. We need to overflow with Jesus. We need to spill out Jesus on everybody that we come in touch with. And this is what he was doing for her right here at this well. But we also see in John chapter 4 that it's the story of blind disciples. And here's where I want us to lean into the story, and I want us to see if it feels a little bit too familiar, if it makes us a little bit too uncomfortable. Look at verse 27. It says, "And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?'" They just couldn't understand why he would be talking to this Samaritan woman. They couldn't understand it. And so I ask you this question today. Do we see like Jesus? Do we see like Jesus? You know, if we're not looking with spiritual eyes, we'll miss what Jesus sees every time. We'll miss it every time. The disciples missed it. There's something so subtle about this story. If we don't look real close, we're going to miss it too. And I want to make sure that you don't miss it. And we see it in John in the verses 7 and 8. It says, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." Now, I want you to see two important points in those verses. Point one, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Point two, his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Now, we can read between those lines and we can think about this. You know, to get to the well from the city or to the city from the well, it wasn't 285. It wasn't multiple lanes. They wasn't going 89,000 miles an hour. It was a footpath. It was just a path that people would walk on. You've seen paths at the farm. I remember on my granny's farm, I had the blessing and the privilege to live with my grandparents on their farm for about a year, and I had the job of slopping the hogs. Woo! Because nobody else wanted that job. And they'd give me that bucket at the end of the day, and I would go down the path to the hog trough. And I was fascinated. I don't even know why I'm telling y'all this, but here I am, so I might as well finish the story. I was always so fascinated. And by the way, I was only in kindergarten. I could barely tote that bucket. But I was so fascinated that when I dumped that bucket in, and you know what slop is, if you ever grew up on a farm, you start out in the morning with a bucket, about a 2-gallon pail, half full of water, and all the scraps off the table from that day goes into that bucket. And at the end of the day, whatever scraps are in that bucket becomes the slop or the pig's food. And so I would carry that bucket and I'd go down that path. And that path was only that. It's only where my footprints every day had beat it down. And that's what a path is. I just love to pour that in there and watch them. They would just bury their nose and everything up in that stuff. And it would just, you could just watch it go down. It was amazing to me. Anyway, back to the message. It was just amazing. But the point is not that. The point is the path. It's narrow. You know, that's why we read in the Bible where Jesus says that, you know, the path to heaven is a narrow way. A path is narrow. So here's the point that I'm making. That path to the city was the same path to the well. Surely the disciples must have crossed the path with the woman. They must have passed her. They're going to the city. She's coming to the well. But they were spiritually blind to her in her condition. That close. Probably had to step aside to let her go by. But they were spiritually blind. You know, I have to imagine that if, as they crossed paths with her, if they would have been looking with Jesus' eyes, if they would have been looking with spiritual eyes, John chapter 4 would be reading very different right now. But they totally missed it. They were blind. How did they miss her? Well, maybe they were hungry and their minds were on lunch. You ever been there? I remember years ago, my oldest son, he was only 12 years old at the time, and me and a good friend of mine, we were running errands on a Saturday, and he was in the back seat with us. About halfway through the day, we decided, man, we need a milkshake. And so as we're coming to the drive-thru, I asked Brandon, I said, Brandon, do you want a milkshake? Yes. What kind do you want? He says, large. I said, yeah, but what kind? He says, large, large. He was distracted by how much he wanted. He wasn't even worried about the flavor. Just give me large. And that's how I feel about milkshakes too. So he gets it honestly. But maybe they were distracted because lunch was on their mind. They were hungry. They'd been walking all morning. Or maybe the question of why did we come to Sychar was on their mind. Why did Jesus bring us to this dump? And now we got to go into that town, those people that we don't even respect, and we got to buy something from them? Really, Jesus? You know, sometimes maybe we're like that. Jesus, why are you doing this in my life? Maybe that's why they missed her. Maybe as they passed, they thought of how much better they were than her. You know? Are we guilty of that? How do we miss it? How do we miss the people that Jesus is wanting to save, that he goes out of his way, that he goes the way that nobody else is willing to go, that he wants to save them? How do we miss it? Whatever was on their minds, the disciples were blind to the spiritual opportunity. Man, we got to guard against that today, y'all. I'm talking about the next 8 weeks working towards a harvest. I'm talking about working towards a day to where we have went out and we have met people that don't know Jesus, and we have become friends with them. We have sat by the well with them. And we have said, we want you to have what we have. We want you to drink the water we drink. We can't afford to miss it. We can't afford to be blind. Listen, if we're spiritually blind as we walk through this world, what are we doing here, really? Why even come to church today? If every week we go out with spiritual blindness, and we don't see anything that God is doing in this world, then why even meet? The disciples were not only blind as they were going, they was blind still when they returned. Now, we done read it, but I want to read this verse 27 again, because here's the thing. They were completely blind to the spiritual significance of the moment. It says, and at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Still blind. I mean, this is the woman they passed. They had to recognize her. And now there she is talking with Jesus. Why is he speaking with her? What is going on here? They're still not getting it. Can I ask you a question? What distracts us from seeing people the way that Jesus sees them? What's your distraction? What's my distraction? Whatever it is that's causing blindness, that's keeping us from partnering with Christ to do the greatest mission work in the world, and that's to win lost souls to Him. People who are drinking from dry wells. People who feel hopeless and lost. And yet we're blind to that and we're doing nothing about it. Let's not be those. Let's not be like that. You know, I've met many church folks who spoke much about how they wanted to serve God, but they never seemed to recognize the thirsty souls that crossed their path. They want to do everything for God. They want to work for God, but out in the world, here comes a thirsty soul. And you're just blinders on, thinking about something else. Blinders on. Here are the disciples. Listen, you know they're dedicated to the Lord. They must be because they followed Him to Samaria. They're dedicated to the Lord. They're willing to go to a place they don't want to go because they want to get Him food. And they come back and they urge Him to eat. You know why? Because their focus was only on the worldly cares. The physical food. You're hungry. You need, come on, Jesus, you need to eat. You're hungry now. That's where their focus was, the worldly cares of life. And can I tell you something? This is what distracts us. The worldly cares of life. And we miss it. We miss so much. But look at how Jesus responds to them. They come back with those worldly cares. Jesus, you need to eat. I know you're hungry. We ate on the way back. Here's something for you. Here's how He responds. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." That's what fills me. That's what He said. That's what fills me. I don't need physical food. I need to do the will of my Father. Man, that's what gives me the energy and the strength that I need to keep going on. He says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." And then here's the verse for this whole series, and this is the context of it now. He says, "Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And I truly believe at that moment, they lifted their eyes and they saw a whole town of people coming to the well. Why is that? Because of the response of the woman. The response of the woman. How she responds. Look at verse 28. It says, "The woman then left her water pot." In other words, that's like, I don't need that anymore. Listen, when we come to Jesus, whatever water pot we've been drinking from, we don't need it anymore. We need to just leave it. Just leave all that behind. The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Him. Some people today say, "Well, I'm just a nobody." I like that song, right? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. However that goes, that's a good song. But some of us think that way. But remember who she was. An adulterous woman. Had been married 5 times, was living with a man, everybody shunning her. I mean, the third class citizens that the Jews had nothing to do with was making her a fourth class, a fifth class citizen. They'd have nothing to do with her. Why all of a sudden did they listen? They seen something different. They saw something different in her. They saw a new gleam in her eyes. They saw a woman that had changed. They probably couldn't put their finger on it, but they all took notice and they said, "There is something about her, and I need it for me." Are you that kind of believer? Are you the kind of believer that you walk into the room and the whole flavor of the room changes? We're to be salt. Are you the kind of believer that walks into the darkness and everything lights up? We're to be light. This woman walked back to her town. She left an adulterous woman and she come back as salt and as light. And people saw something in her and they had to go see for themselves. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white and they're ready for harvest. And here comes a whole city out to Jesus. The story goes on that he spent 2 days with them. And them disciples did too. And I imagine that their spiritual eyesight got tuned in, got opened up. But we say, I'm just a nobody. Who can I witness to? What difference can I make? What can I do? Well, you're not her. Are you really coming from that place? Listen, she was a nobody. But when the Lord takes them blinders off your eyes, when you start looking spiritually at people, man, that's when God can use you in dramatic and mighty ways like you can never imagine. Think about this. The disciples go to town and they bring back food. The woman goes to town and she brings back people. That's what we're to do as believers. We're to bring people. So let me ask you this question. Have we turned blind eyes to the field? I think that's a fair question we need to ask ourselves this morning. While our churches grow smaller, our spirits grow colder, you know what's happening? The harvest is withering away. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of churches are smaller and a lot of churches are colder. And the harvest is now and it's withering away. We sit in our holy huddles and we talk about how bad the world is and how we wish Jesus would come back. And I do. And the world is bad. But we're the only ones that have the antidote to the poison. We're the only ones that have any hope to give. We're the only ones that are supposed to be overflowing with this living water that we've been drinking. How much are you spilling out? How much are you overflowing today? We need to look at the fields and we need to go to the wells. You want to know what is going to give us a future in this church? Looking on the fields and going to the wells. That's got to be the future of this church. If we don't learn how to do that, this church will, like many other churches, just continue to dwindle and ultimately die. You know, that's the intent of our presentation today. Right after church, we're going to have a luncheon. And we're going to give 8 months of work in a small little booklet to each one of you. 8 months of praying. 8 months of searching after God. 8 months of working hard to say, Lord, what can we do as a body of believers to have an impact and to have a future? And that's what we're getting. So please stay for that. Stay for that today. But the point that we're talking about is what we need to do. We need to look at the fields and go to the wells. You know, here's the thing. We're called not to isolate, but to penetrate. We're not called to just close in here, but we're called to go out there. So let me ask you one other question. Do you see people like Jesus? How do you see the beggar at the intersection? How do you see the person running the cash register at Publix or Walmart? Are you just passing them on the path, not thinking anything about their eternal soul, just passing by? Well, that's another person I just passed by. Think about all the people that you pass every day. How do you see people of a different color, a different culture, a different language, a different background? How do you see people like that? How do we see people? Do we see them like Jesus? Now it's time to respond, and I just want to read verse 35 again. We'll all know it by heart by the time these 8 weeks is up. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. We can't say that. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Listen, can you hear the plea of Jesus in that verse? Can you hear his heart's plea? He's saying the harvest is now. Lift up your eyes. Just open your spiritual eyes and see the harvest all around you. It's now. He's saying we can't wait 4 more months. He's saying we can't wait on the next pastor. He's saying we can't wait for them to come in here, because that ain't going to happen. Not without us getting to know them and loving them and encouraging them. Like she went back to the people, they saw something different in her, and therefore they wanted to come and see. They wanted to come and see. Imagine this. One thirsty woman saved, and an entire community comes to Christ. One thirsty, adulterous woman saved. Entire community comes to Jesus. What if you led one person like that to Jesus? I'm not saying go and find an adulterous woman. Although there's probably some out there. I'm going to move on. Here's what I'm saying is find a lost soul. Find a thirsty soul. Find someone that's drinking from all the wells of the world and they continue to thirst and they continue to long for some kind of hope, some kind of deliverance, something spiritual to happen in their lives. Go look for that person. What if you imagine if you lead one like that to Jesus, just one, and you never know who they'll bring. You never know. Just one. Who's the one in your life? Remember a few years ago they had that thing. Who's your one? I know y'all had a bunch of ping pong balls that had something to do with that. That was long before my time. But who is your one? Do you have just one? There's plenty of ones out there. You don't have to look far to find them. 73% of the community within 3 miles of this church are lost. Hello? They're all around us. Throw a rock in any direction, you'll hit somebody that's lost. So believers, here's how I want us to respond today. I'm serious. I want to invite you, if you feel so led, to come to this altar this morning. And I want you to ask God for 2 things. And I realize some can't come. If you can't come, you pray where you're at. But I want you to ask God for 2 things. I want you to ask God to open your spiritual eyes to those you've been blind to. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe the person at the checkout at Walmart. I don't know. Your realm of influence is different than mine. But I want us all to be praying for God to open our spiritual eyes to those that we've been blind to. And then I want you to specifically ask him, can I tell you that God answers prayer specifically? I'm not going to get into the details of it, but for the last month or so, I was praying a very specific prayer that was asking for multiple things to happen. And he answered. He answered. So pray and ask God this. God, will you allow me to lead at least one person to salvation in Christ before the end of this year? So I'm just saying, ask God to open your spiritual eyes and then ask God to give you the grace to lead at least one person to Christ before the end of the year. Man, if we all could do that, imagine how different it would be right here. And imagine who would come with them. Who would they bring? Other people that are thirsty? It'd get messy. I'm okay with messy. And if you're not, you need to get okay with messy, because if we start reaching people for Christ, it's going to get messy. It's already been a little messy around here, and I praise God for that. And then the last thing I want to say, y'all don't forget, I need you to come and pray. But the last thing I want to say is for the one that's here that's been drinking from a dry well, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart this morning, and He's let you know, hey, it's you. And you need to respond. You need to come to me. I have living water so that you'll never thirst again. That's what Jesus promises. All you have to do is come and receive it. So as people come and pray, and as I stand down front, if you need to come and drink from that living water that Jesus offers you, will you just come down and meet me right here? And I'll just share with you how to pray a simple prayer of faith where you pray and ask Jesus in your heart. It's so simple. It's a free gift. How hard is it to accept a gift? So stand with me as we sing. Respond as God calls you to respond.
Like a flood comes flowing.